In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He's not mine. Perhaps that's what Joseph was thinking as he thought of that child in Mary's womb when he found out that she was pregnant. He's not mine. The news must have made him ashamed of Mary, and that shame would fall on himself too. And after all, Mary and Joseph were betrothed. And that meant a lot more than that Mary was Joseph's fiancée who could walk away from the relationship, only suffering a broken heart. In Jewish custom, betrothal was a legally binding relationship that was the first stage of marriage. For Mary, that betrothal period would have been a year before the actual nuptials took place. But during that time, she would still legally be considered Joseph's wife. A betrothal could only be broken by divorce or death. But now Mary's pregnant. Everyone would assume that it's by adultery. And who's the father, they wonder? I'm sure they took a guess or three. Joseph has now been shamed for something he did not do and had no control over, and he's hurting. And Joseph, being a just man, wanted to do the right thing. He took the word of God seriously and looked to the word for God's guidance here. If she's an adulteress, he can't just marry her as if nothing had ever happened. That would just declare to everyone that this sin doesn't really matter. That the Bible just mandates stuffy, outdated traditions which you can cast aside as the times change. It would declare that sin isn't serious. That we can just cover up real shame by pretending it's not really a problem. That there's nothing to be ashamed of in the first place. That Mary can do what she wants with whom she wants and expect no consequences. No consequences for her soul, for her heart, for her body, for her life. But Joseph actually believes that the Bible is the Word of God. The Word of the God who is holy and pure. The God who exposes how sin kills us. How sin kills any who are stained by it. Joseph doesn't want to betray that word, betray that God. So Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now that might seem like the right and compassionate thing to do here. As Dr. Jeff Gibbs puts it, a modern reader might think that Joseph is behaving like some sort of legalist in not accepting Mary, even though she presumably had sinned. However, according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, Mary, if pregnant by another man, should have been stoned. That Joseph intended to divorce her shows that he affirmed the biblical condemnation of adultery as sin. But that he gave no thought to capital punishment shows the triumph of mercy. In the first century Jewish context, Joseph is showing extraordinary compassion in deciding to divorce Mary secretly, thus both avoiding bringing unnecessary shame on her and eschewing any possible financial profit that could rightly been his by impounding Mary's dowry and perhaps even regaining the bride price that Joseph may have paid at the time of betrothal. Because he is a just man, Joseph was about to do the wrong thing for the right reasons. And who could blame him? I mean, what other conclusion could this sinful, shame-filled world have taught him to expect? Who could believe Mary's story? And why should Joseph go through with a union to Mary when she was already joined to another man? Another man who she'd rather be with. and when she apparently thought so little of him. Now, I don't think in all of this that Joseph is looking out for his own reputation. I mean, considering how he takes on Mary later, no matter what others think. No, Joseph is a just man. And he's just because he considers God's will and God's word to be more important, more true, more just than his own. Now, if we're honest, Joseph seems a lot more just than we are. A lot more willing to take God's word seriously and earnestly live according to it. More willing to deal with the hard truth of sin rather than just covering it up and pretending it didn't happen, pretending there's nothing to be ashamed of. Each of us harbors shame over something. Maybe some shame you don't deserve. Maybe some you do. Maybe it's something that you've done. Maybe it's something that's been done to you. The world would tell you that as long as you don't feel bad about it, as long as you had good intentions or didn't mean it or were naive, then you should be fine. Get over it. Move on. Just watch a happy movie, eat some chocolate, have another drink, take another pill, swallow another lie. But the shame sticks around. It stains us, no matter what we do. No matter how we try to rationalize it or excuse it, deny it, ignore it, or drown it out, we're trapped. There doesn't seem any way out from under shame's burden and stigma and stain. And even if you cast aside God's word, you deny it, you leave the church and join the world, it won't help. Now, it might seem like our country's culture is utterly shameless, but that's not true. It stamps its feet and loudly insists that it has nothing to be ashamed of. That all the pain wrenching people's guts is someone else's fault. It's our fault. It's your fault. But it's not mine. It'll cover its ears and shout down anyone who disagrees. I mean, just think of the shame and degradation that it heaps on anybody who steps out of line. Anyone who even questions this new Puritan dogma. I can say whatever I say, I can be whatever I say, I can do whatever I say, and you have to like it. You have to approve it, you have to support it, and you have to celebrate it. Now to me, that screams a heart full of shame and guilt. It's trying to make the shame go away by standing in the dark, pretending that the truth isn't the truth. But that only works if absolutely everyone endorses it. Everyone! Because even the tiniest beam of light breaks the darkness. No matter where we go in this world, no matter what we do, we can't escape our shame. The devil knows this very well, and he uses your shame to try to pry you apart from others, try to make you think, well, what would they say if only they knew? How would they look at me? How quickly would they turn from me? The devil uses your shame to try to pry you apart from God, to hang your head before him and make you think, how can he still love me after what I've done? How can a holy God accept me, receive me? Why would he want me anywhere close to him with this stain on my soul? I'm ashamed to call myself a Christian. I'm ashamed to call him my God. I can't call myself his. So he must not really be mine. Joseph had no way out of shame here. He would either bear the shame of endorsing an adulteress or the shame of breaking the bond of their marriage in divorce. Shame overshadowed Mary and Joseph both as he thought of Mary's baby. He's not mine. But then God speaks to Joseph. He sends a heavenly messenger to Joseph in the dead of sleep, in the darkness of the night, to enlighten Joseph with his word, to reveal the truth to Joseph, to reveal Jesus to Joseph. The child in Mary's womb is not from another man, Joseph. Mary has been perfectly faithful, not only to you, Joseph, but to God. She was overshadowed not by a shameful act in darkness, but overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, who brought the eternal light into this world through her. In Mary, God has performed a new creative act, shaping his Son, the second Adam, from the dust of Mary's flesh and the waters of her womb, the Spirit breathing human life into him. God spoke his promise into reality, spoke his word into Mary, and Mary received that word, received that child in faith. This is the truth, Joseph. This is my word, Joseph. The world will not accept this word because the world will not accept this child. Only faith can. The world will try to heap shame on you, but do not fear to take Mary as your wife. You know the truth of her purity. I've declared it. Believe me when I tell you who this child is. He is true Emmanuel, God with us. He is my own son, God in human flesh. Name him for who he is, Jesus. God saves. Jesus, who saves by being with us in our darkness, with us in our pain, with us in our shame, with us in our sin, to save us from our sin, which is where the darkness and the pain and the shame come from. Save us from our sin, not just excusing it or endorsing it or hiding it, not just say, it's okay, and turn a blind eye. Really saving us from our sin. Washing it away. Cleansing us from its stain. Atoning for us. Restoring us. Forgiving us. We may try to cover up our shame with fig leaves and excuses, but Jesus covers us with something better. His own blood, his own life, sacrificed for us to truly save us, to set us free with the truth. The truth that in him we have nothing to be ashamed of anymore. Because he's taken our shame from us, taken it to the cross, to the grave, to bury it forever. And he has come back to bring his freedom to you. Jesus' freedom is for you today. Jesus has declared you forgiven today. You heard it with your own ears. And you don't need to hang your head before him, because Jesus lifts it and looks you right in the eye and tells you, I love you. You are my own, my beloved, of my people. You're mine. I was born for you. I died for you. I rose for you so that I can declare to you now you are clean. You're pure. No sin can spoil that. No shame can stain you, because I have cleansed you of all that sin, the sin that you've done, the sin that others have done to you. There's nothing to be ashamed of before me. Instead, receive my honor. Receive my name, my love, my life. It's yours. You now have a place with me forever, right where you belong. This is the heavenly message God speaks to you in the darkness of this world to enlighten you with his word, to reveal the truth to you, to reveal Jesus to you. Jesus does all of this because he is just and unwilling to put you to shame and will never let anything part you from him. And he doesn't just do it quietly, but it's declared it for all the world to hear. Do not be afraid to claim Jesus as your own, because he claims you as his. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph didn't father Mary's child, nor did he even get to pick the baby's name. But Joseph was faithful to name the child Jesus, as God revealed to him. It was the only just name to give the boy. Joseph was faithful to hear and to obey and to trust, enduring the shame that this world heaped upon him because he knew the truth now. Joseph believed the word of God, the God who is holy and pure, the God who makes we who are stained by sin also holy and pure. Joseph became the faithful guardian of Jesus that day. Let the shame and rejection of the world and the bloodlust of Herod fall upon him so that one day Jesus could bear all shame and rejection on the bloody cross for him and for us all. This child is yours, Joseph. Not because he shares your blood, but because you now share his. He's all of ours, God's Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.